Well, praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. You know, I ain't going to get away with just having one or two people say it. We got to get everybody praising God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am so excited for what God is doing. Praise God. My wife and I have been going over these testimonies this week. And, you know, I just got to tell you that, you know, we're aware of the testimonies as people tell us that something in their life has changed or what has changed. You know, and we're encouraged by that always. And I know that some of you have heard it too. But you know something, when you compile them together and you start looking at what God's actually doing in a place, oh, glory to God. It's amazing. As my wife said, we could barely get through one of them without tearing up and getting all teary-eyed and snotty face. Praise the Lord. We just couldn't hardly handle it because God's doing great things. And, you know, it really solidifies that purpose of what you're doing week in and week out. Praise the Lord. When you see when you see the change and you know that somebody's life has changed for the better and that it brings them that much closer to God, it's an exciting thing. Amen. And so we're looking forward to this service and many other services because, of course, this isn't just the beginning of it or this isn't the end of it. It's just the beginning. Praise the Lord. We're going to keep going and keep going and keep going until Jesus comes back because he's got some stuff for us to take care of. Amen. Now, we know that the Lord, he was here for a time, and I remember a time in my life, and I would think, Lord, if you were only still here, it would be nice. Yeah. You know, if you were just still present on the earth, why did Jesus come for such a short time? After all, he was God. He could have stayed forever. But Jesus told us, he said, no, it was good that I go away. He said, it's good that I go away because what I'm sending is better. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And what I'm sending isn't just going to be with you. He's going to be in you, praise the Lord. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and I'm bringing back the power that I intended for you all along. I'm bringing back the things that I intended for you all along, the ability that I intended for you all along, and I'm going to take you into that place that I intended you to go all along, praise God. I ain't going to leave you behind. I ain't going to leave you down. I'm going to pick you up and take you forward, hallelujah. I'm going to take you in, but all you got to do is be willing to go. See, and there's a big thing. There's a big caveat. You got to be willing to go. You got to be willing to flow. You got to be willing to dive into everything that God's got for you. When you jump in, oh, let me tell you, when you're standing at the edge of a pool or the edge of a lake, especially when you know it may be not the warmest part of the year, and you have a little bit of hesitation there. You know what I mean? Well, don't have any hesitation with God. You know, come on in. The water's fine. Praise the Lord. It's the best water that you've ever felt, ever seen. And glory, when you get in, you'll be like, why didn't I get in here sooner? Yeah. You say, man, why didn't somebody tell me about this earlier? Praise the Lord. See, that's how good our God is. I found that, you know, I was raised. And before I get too far, I got to say this, you know. I got to use this opportunity. You know, everybody, everybody's going to go somewhere in life based on somebody else praying for them, based on somebody else doing things for them. And today we're extremely blessed. And you don't even know why we're so blessed. But sitting here today with us, are my grandparents. And every time I talk about this, I just get a little choked up. But you know, I can't tell you enough. They were the spiritual upbringing in my life. They were the ones who planted the seeds there that enabled me to come to the Lord at all. Praise God. It was through their faithfulness. And then over the years, I've heard so many times when. I would have somebody come up to me, and they would hear my last name, and they would say, are you related to so-and-so? And I'd say, yeah, I'm related. And they would tell me about how their lives changed because of what they did in somebody else's lives. You know, and I found out after years of being away and being off, as I started reconnecting with my past and stuff, I started finding out that I actually had a long history of God influence in my life that I didn't even went back generations that I didn't even know about, and so I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, there was many times in my life when people would tell me something, and I remember a time when I was learning more about the Word, and I kept calling Grandma up, and I'd be like, Grandma, is this true? And she'd be like, oh, yeah, that's true. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. So I got excited about it. And as I found out more about the Bible and God being good and the things that he's done and the things that he'll continue to do, praise God, I'm just so thankful for those things that they put in me. Amen. Because you know something? God will put people in your life. He'll allow people to be in your life to take you to that place that you need to go. He'll put those people, you know, when I was off living in the world and I was doing bad things, one of the things that I was most afraid of is that if my name got in the paper, they'd see it because I knew they read the paper. Praise the Lord. And so I'm telling you that it didn't always keep me from doing those things, but it always made me afraid of doing those things. The thought was always there. So it was always there. It always spoke to me. But hey, we all need somebody in our life that the thought of displeasing them hurts you. The thought of displeasing them makes you want to do a little bit better. And that's exactly what they were for me. So, Grandpa and Grandma, thank you for being here. It's an honor. It's a joy to have you guys here. Praise God. Well, today I got to get into a message at some point. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, we only got a couple hours here together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, today I thought I was going to preach on one thing. And I was all gung-ho about preaching on that. Last night I was preaching in Corey. And I was preaching on a message. And during the message, I got revelation on something that I hadn't seen before. So praise God, I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to take part of that message, and I'm going to continue. If you wonder why I wasn't out greeting people this morning, it was because I was preparing 5 minutes before service the message that I was going to preach to you today. So I hope you're blessed by it, but I've heard from heaven. I believe it's a message from God. So today we're going to talk about ordering your world. Order your world is the name of our message. Now I want you to understand something. If you were in the service last night, we are going to different places and we're believing God for different things. So don't unhook thinking, oh, I heard all this last night. No, because you only heard the beginning of it last night. We're going to get into it more today. Praise the Lord. Now, some of these things I've preached on before, and it's not wrong to preach on things again, because faith comes by hearing and hearing. Praise the Lord. It doesn't come by heard. It comes by hearing. We aren't going to have faith built in us unless we build it in us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. How many have had kids or have known somebody have kids or have seen kids before? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Well, that's just about everybody in here. Amen. Well, you know one thing about kids. If you know anything about kids, it's this, that you tell them to do something and they probably won't just do it with the first time being told. Amen. And sometimes they need to be told again and again and again. Well, how many know that we are spiritual children? Praise the Lord. And yes, we can grow up and we can learn things. Praise the Lord in God. But we also know this, that we still need to hear and hear again. And part of that is because we have an enemy who's coming to take and take and take. Yeah. You know, the Bible tells us over there in Mark, I know Mark, I think around the fourth chapter, I might be right in that, but I might not be. Praise the Lord. But if I'm wrong, we'll correct it later. But where Jesus was talking about the four different kinds of soil. You know, Satan comes for the word's sake, the Bible tells us. He comes to steal the word that's sown out of you. And it's very important to understand the importance of the word, but not just the word. The words in our mouth, yes. Praise the Lord, are equally as important. And we order our world by the words of our mouth. You see, God put creative power, the same creative power he has in his mouth, he put in our mouth. In fact, you know, Pastor Webb was here last week, and I love this one thing he said to us one time. He came in and he said, God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth. And that's something we all need to get. That's something we all need to keep. We need to hold on to that and not let go. And we're going to see that today in the word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 1. We're going to begin here because, well, 1 Corinthians is a good place to start. It's the 1 Corinthians. Could have started in 2 Corinthians, but we're going to start in the first one. Amen. And we know the Corinthians were all the same, but they were so messed up that God had to do two letters to them. Well, praise the Lord. Probably wasn't like that, but, you know, glory to God. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards, one be found faithful. Praise the Lord. We are all stewards of the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God has been given to us. The Word of God was given to us, the church, praise the Lord, for us to live by. Amen. 1 Corinthians is actually found, it's considered one of the epistles, and the epistles are the letters to the churches. Now, some people get off in churches because they get wrong in their theology because they only hold to the Old Testament, and there's nothing wrong with the Old Testament. Of course, we still use the Old Testament. We're blessed by a lot of things, all things out of the Old Testament. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is good for our teaching, amen? But we can't just take things out of context. We have to filter the Old Testament through the New Testament. Well, why do I say all that? Because if we don't filter the things correctly, then we're going to get out of order. And that's how churches, people, Christians get out of order. That's why they start believing goofy things and start believing things that aren't Scripture, because they get things out of order. Amen. But it says here that moreover is required of stewards that one be found faithful. We are stewards. We need to be found faithful. What does that mean? It means when you're given something, you need to take care of it. We're given the most, the Bible says, precious promises. Glory to God. That's the Word of God. We're given this Scripture to guide us, to lead us. And yet so many people throw it to the side all the time. They forget about it. See, it's so important that we understand that we are stewards of this word. We are stewards of this gospel. And as such, we need to deal with it correctly. You know, if you gave somebody something and they just threw it on the ground, say, I don't really want that. What if you spent months, you know, preparing, working a job so you could give somebody a beautiful gift and they came up to you and they just threw it aside? Just toss it aside. Well, so many people do that with the word. People don't value the word of God anymore. And see, that's why we preach the word and preach the word and preach the word. Because it's not my ideas that are going to help you. My ideas got me in a heap of mess. My ideas are in a heap of mess, praise the Lord. But we don't follow my ideas. That's why we don't build church based on man's ideas. We build it based on God's ideas. You know, I was going to preach a message about offense, and at some point we probably need to come back around to that, because people also need to understand that you don't, you know, that you, your thoughts matter, and if you are thinking thoughts of offense, then that's not of God, because God doesn't work in thoughts of offense. If you're having thoughts of offense, in other words, if you're hurt, if you're mad, if you're sad by what someone else said, then you're being controlled by your emotions. You're not being controlled by the word of God. The Bible says that that we shall live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. Hallelujah. But see, this is the thing. If you live by offense, then you're going to do wrong things. If you live by your own ideas, you're going to do wrong things. But if you live by the word of God, you will always stay on the straight and narrow. You'll always stay right down the middle of the road. You won't get off in one ditch or the other ditch. You're going to keep going on the path that God has you, the path that he's planned for you. For he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards us, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope, an expectation of good for the future. Praise God. Is there anybody who's excited about that? That means that it doesn't matter if today is bad, tomorrow's going to be better. Why? Because he's got, as long as you stay on his path, as long as you get in his plan, as long as you follow the Lord, he will take you where he wants you to go. And where he wants you to go is stinking good. Hallelujah. Where he's taking you is real good. It tastes good. It feels good. It fits good. Hallelujah. It looks good. It'll make you look better. Praise the Lord. If you're ugly, just follow God. You'll look better. Hallelujah. That's all. It doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter where you come from. Praise the Lord. All it matters is where you're going. Glory to God. Amen. Well, we love God, but we want to be faithful stewards. Amen. Now, look at this up here. Just look at Psalm 37:23. I love this scripture, and I go to the scripture often in thought and heart and mind. I think about it. I try to meditate on it, because this is very important to understand. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Hallelujah. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Sometimes when things are off, you need to just go before God, and you say, Father, order my steps. Order my steps. Now, this applies to women, too. We know that. God wasn't just loving on men. He loves women, too. Praise the Lord. The steps of a good person are ordered of the Lord. That means that he is going to place. Now, see, when God orders something, he doesn't just haphazardly throw it together and say, oh, maybe it'll work out. You know, sometimes we do that, you know. Last night, my son and I were down here in the dark with flashlights out back trying to fix the air conditioning. And we were just trying stuff. We don't know anything about air conditioning, but we know that there's wires that look chewed, and that's probably what the cause was. It wasn't, or at least we didn't fix it right, one of the two. But at any rate, we're down here just kind of throwing things together, trying. But see, God doesn't do things that way. When God does something, he plans it out. He's got a purpose for it. He said he's had a purpose for it. He thought about you before you were born, before you even existed. He already had a plan for you. He already had some way for you to go. He already had a way that would work. Hallelujah. But us stupid humans, what do? We get in our own ideas and we think, well, I'm going to do it this way. Hallelujah. And then when it doesn't work, well, I'm going to do it this way. And the whole time, God's just standing back there waiting. It's like, keep going. You can keep going. Yep. Go. I'm just so you know, I'm over here. Anytime you want to ask, I'm here for you. Anytime you want to ask, all you got to do is open your mouth and say. All you got to do is look to me and say, hey, wait a minute. God, I'm so tired of doing things. See, that's why I do things God's way now. Because I got tired of doing things my way. My way hurt a lot. My way got me in the hospital. My way got me in trouble with the police. Hallelujah. My way got me doing things, all kinds of things I didn't want to do. It made me sick, made me not feel good, made me wake up in the morning wanting to die. Hallelujah. But God's way, I don't wake up in the morning wanting to die anymore. I wake up in the morning, sometimes I wake up in the morning, I'm like, woo, glory to God. I'm going to get going here. I'm going to take off. I got to do, you know what I'm saying? Praise God. Because sometimes, you know, that's what it's like to be ordered of the Lord. You know that there's a direction God's got for you, and you know you get on that direction, you're going to go, and you ain't going to stop, and no devil in hell can come against you. There's no person on this earth. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it doesn't matter who it's against, because my God, the greater one's on the inside of me, and he's taking me through, he's taking me on, he's taking me over. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Turn with me to Luke 4:4. Just want you to pop over there to Luke for a minute. Or pop back to Luke if you were still in 1 Corinthians. Maybe you went to, I don't know, but it's there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's the third one of the New Testament. If you don't know where that is, well, we'll have to help you afterwards. Praise God. But Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone. Now, if you didn't know, he was talking to Satan here when Satan was trying to use the word against him. You see, Satan will twist the word. He will give you just enough truth to get you choked up. Just enough truth, and then he'll throw a load. You see, when you get poison to something, you don't just give him the poison. You put, like, I've heard the saying that rat poison has like 99% of it won't even kill you, won't even hurt you. But it's that 1% that'll get you. You know what I'm saying? And it's that 1% that gets them. But devil does the same thing. He'll let you believe all you want. He'll let you sit in church every week, praise the Lord. But he'll give you just a little bit of poison so you swallow it. What's a little bit of poison? Oh, it's saying things that aren't scriptural, saying things like God gives and takes away. No, praise the Lord. That's not God's intent. We remember that. We talk about Job all the time. We bring him up all the time. That's a famous, a real popular thing to say in churches, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is not what God intended. In fact, in Hebrews, it tells us what God intended for Job, and it was twice what he had before. It was blessing. It was freedom. But we understand there's a lot of things we ain't going to teach about Job today. But I always say that. We never do. But we probably should one of these days, just so you know what I'm talking about. Amen. But we'll get there. Hallelujah. Anytime you got questions, not during the service, but after, you can ask me. Hallelujah. But man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Live here. If you look up this word live, it's really important to have concordances are nice, because it really breaks down expresses what God really has for us. Amen. Now look at this. Live means to enjoy real life. Real life. To have true life and worthy of the name. Active, blessed in the kingdom of God. Real life, true life, and worthy of the name of life. Hallelujah. I lived many years not living. I spent many years in death. Sometimes that death tries to come back and rob from me now, but I ain't going to let it happen. Well, I'm building a foundation here, and I know you're probably a little bit lost, but you're wondering, where are we going with this? But I'm telling you, we're going somewhere good, because we're going to be talking about the words and how they matter, and what we speak and how it matters, how we talk, because how we talk is connected to what we believe. How we talk is what we believe. You only speak what you believe. What you believe is true, that's what you speak. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. And conversely, you can know what someone believes by what they're speaking. I can know in a short conversation how much faith somebody has just by what they say. When they start talking about how big the devil is and how they don't know if they're ever going to get through, I know their faith is very small. Why? Because they don't understand who their God is. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about having moments, but I'm talking about continual belief. Amen? Well, turn with me now to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Glory to God. Thank God for the Word of God, because the Word of God sets us straight. Hallelujah. It always puts us on the right course. Amen? Praise God. Proverbs 18:20. Are you here with me today?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will. Everyone say will. They will eat its fruit. Glory to God. A man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. What you're saying is what you're going to have. How you speak is what you're going to get. If you're constantly talking about how bad the storm is and how you can't ever get through, then brother or sister, you will never get through. I didn't get through the storms of life. I didn't get through the trials. I didn't get to this position by constantly just staying in my misery and how bad things were. Listen, sometimes things aren't fair. Things are going to happen in life that aren't fair. Why? Because we have an enemy. It doesn't matter if they're not fair. You have a God who tips the table in your favor. You got a God who will always move things in your favor if you trust him, if you do his word, if you're a good steward of his word, if you put it in your mouth and you start using it, praise the Lord. You have a God who will always turn the tables in your favor. God is always on your side. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? When he says if God's for us, who could be against us? That's not a question like, is there really somebody who could be against us? That means that there's nobody. If God, the creator of everything, is for you, there ain't nobody who can be against you. Glory to God. Well, that's something to be excited about, isn't it? Man, I'm glad I came to church today. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Oh, you're preaching real good. Hallelujah. Well, don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good right now, because we got some things. I'm going to get better. Amen. It's going to get even better. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. God, if I could just get this to Christians. Yes, if I could just get this through to Christians. What you say is what you're going to have. You will. Death and life. Death and life. Death and life. Death and life. You want life? Do you want death? But both of them are in the power of the tongue. Why does the Bible say this if it weren't true? Did he just throw this in here because it was poetic? Did he just throw it in here because it sounded, well, this sounded neat. Somebody will write a song about this someday, or somebody will be, you know. No, he said it because it's true. The Word of God is not just fleeting thoughts of some random man. This is the Holy Spirit-inspired utterance of God. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, those who get into either of those things are going to eat the fruit of it. They're going to eat its fruit. Praise the Lord. You're going to have what you say. You're only going to have what you say. If you say so-and-so will never come to church and never get saved, then guess what? They probably ain't ever going to come to church and never get saved. But you don't speak that way. You speak life. I don't care how big the odds. We are full. We have churches full of people who would never step foot in church. Glory to God. I said we're full of people that would never step foot in church. But they're here now. Why? Because God moved on them. Somebody spoke faith. Praise the Lord. I don't want to get into next week's sermon too much, but there's things, you're going to see things in next week's testimony of people that came, and part of it was connected to how they spoke. It doesn't matter what they think. I'm telling you, I've known complete, my wife was an atheist when I met her. What is an atheist? They don't believe in God. She was raised to be that way. I don't believe in God. I didn't even understand that. I never understood that. But she was raised to believe that way. God did not intend us to be atheists, hallelujah, but even atheists can become pastors. Glory to God. That's pretty exciting. I'm pretty happy that my wife's no longer an atheist. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't look at her and say, well, you know what? She's an atheist. She ain't ever going to be a Christian. Well, I did tell her that before we could ever go anywhere, that she had to be a Christian. Praise the Lord. I mean, I couldn't be connected to, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I couldn't be equally yoked. I had been, praise God. I understand what that's like. I'll just say that, praise the Lord. I understand what it's like to be unequally yoked, and it's not fun. Yeah. But I'm equally yoked now. Actually, she's unequally yoked. I got the better half of the deal. I married up, praise the Lord. She got Holy Ghost bamboozled. I married up. Praise God. But that's the way God, that was in God's plan. So in that time, it was okay. Praise God. It's okay. Glory. If I didn't have my wife, I wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God said, dear Jesus, what can we, he said, God was looking at Jesus and talking to Gabriel and probably Michael and the saints. And he was looking down at me and he said, what can we do to get this guy to just do the right thing? And I know we're going to send him an atheist. Hallelujah. Well, that's a joke, you understand? You understand that's a joke? He sent her my way. Actually, he sent me her way. He sent me into the restaurant where she was, and she was waitressing, and I looked up, and I said, hey, glory. At that time, I wasn't thinking about her salvation. But that came shortly after, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look up here at 1 Corinthians 14. 14:33, praise God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Before I read this, because I got to put some of this water back in that I'm sweating out right now, hallelujah, for God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion And the reason I bring this up now is because of what we're about to get into. There's some things we have to understand about the Word. The Bible says that you have to rightfully divide the Word. And if you can rightfully divide the Word, that means you can wrongfully divide the Word. And some people do. Some people get off on all kinds of screwy ideas about God and about things, but the Word will always set you straight. For God is not the author of confusion. God doesn't create anything in darkness. He doesn't create anything in confusion. This means disorder, chaos. Hallelujah, that word confusion. It's the same word for disorder, chaos. God does not create things. He is not the author of confusion. God always sets things in order. How do we know the Bible tells us so? Right? Didn't we see that? A good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. That means there is an order, there is a purpose to each one, and he puts it into play so that you can have all that God has intended you to get. Praise the Lord. So I need you to remember this as we get into what we're about to get into. Now we're going to turn back. You're going to go with me, and we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. If sometimes when you're off a little bit, what you need to do is go back to the beginning. You know, if you go back to the beginning, sometimes you set yourself straight. And the thing about the Word of God that's awesome is, again, the order of the Word of God is not done in vain. God didn't do it. He didn't put things together that way just haphazardly. There's a purpose to it. In the beginning, the book of Genesis, Genesis 1:1, you go all the way back to the beginning. This is the very beginning. You can't go any further back and still be reading Scripture. Amen? So everybody should be able to find this real good. God tells us everything we need to know about what he desires for us in the first chapter of Genesis. He tells us everything we need to know right here in the beginning. In the beginning, hallelujah, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Now, so a lot of people think that these scriptures just go consecutively, that there could be no time lapse in between, but we have to remember that God doesn't give us every little detail of everything that happened on earth every single moment throughout the scripture. There are things he tells us, and then there's things he leaves out purposely. There's not a whole lot about dinosaurs in the Bible, for instance. We can't get a whole lot about, we know they existed. Just because we don't see a whole lot about them in the Bible doesn't mean they didn't exist. We're not going to be foolish, amen? But we see here that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty simple. Now let's go to verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Hallelujah. Stay in verse 2 for a second. See, if we just take things as we see them and don't think about it, don't get into studying, and I'm not going to get into a lot of Bible history here or anything like that, but I just want you to understand, hearkening back to 1 Corinthians 14:33, is God is not the author of confusion. But don't we see here the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Some translations talk about the chaos that ensued. God doesn't create things that way, but that's the way the world was at that point. Amen? And so we see that there was probably a period of time. And if you go into a lot of study, you can see that there's more to it than that. But the reason I bring all this up, the reason we start here, is because I want you to notice, regardless of how you think about Bible history, what we can see is this. We start with chaos. If we start in verse 2, we're starting with chaos, void. We start with things that are out of order. When things are chaotic, when things are disorderly, or when things are chaotic, they're not in order. Amen? Praise God. Without form is chaos. You know, it's just all over the place. It's not, there's no order to it. But God is a God of order, and we've established that, right? And so I want you to look, as we go through these next few scriptures, stay in Genesis, you're going to see what God does. And what God does is he puts things in order. Hallelujah. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. Now, there's something I want you, in purpose of our sermon and what we're teaching here today, I also want you to focus on something else, because we're not going to read the whole account in Genesis, but we're going to skip a few scriptures here and there, and this is why we're doing this, because I want to focus on something. So while God's putting things in order, while he's making order of things, I want you to understand what he's saying here, or what the Bible says. Then God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. God wasn't confused by it. God knew exactly what he was doing. He had order, he had purpose, he had direction. He said, there will be light, and there was light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, aren't you glad? Anybody like light? Okay. Now skip on down with me. We're going to go down to Genesis 1:6. Praise God. In the beginning of Genesis here, the Bible says God said 8 times. 8 times. And look what happens in Genesis 1:6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God said it, and what happened? It happened. It was so. Praise the Lord. Because God intended for things to happen when he said it. God didn't say things. You see, it's important. We have to, well, we're going to get there. Praise God. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Genesis 1:9, a few more scriptures down. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Hallelujah. We see it again. God saying something, and it coming to pass. Why? God knew what he was saying. He knew what was going to happen when he said it, and it happened. He wasn't surprised by it. And what's he doing? He is ordering the earth. He is putting it back into the way that he wants it to be, the way he envisioned it. He's ordering it like this and like that. Glory to God. Genesis, let's see, what was it? That was 1:9. Let's go to Genesis 1:11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Praise the Lord. You know, I used this example last night because I just love the way God works. You know, God put things in order to work a certain way. They were going to work a certain way, and they weren't going to get out of order after they worked that way. Now, some people have seen adaptations, and they think, well, there's an adaptation of something, so this must mean something else. But I use the example of citrus fruit. I love citrus fruit. And one thing I learned about citrus fruit is that we have all kinds of citrus fruit. We have oranges. We have apples. Apples aren't citrus fruit. Just kidding. Just checking to see if you're with me still. Oranges, lemons, limes, pomelos, grapefruit. Anyone else can think of anything else? Tangerines, clementines. Praise the Lord. We there's tons and tons and tons of different kinds of citrus fruit. They have lime lemons and lemon limes and all different kinds of things. Praise the Lord. But they all started from three basic fruits. They all started from three. There's three main fruits. There's mandarin oranges, pomelos, and citron. Those were the three original, right? Did I say that right? We were talking about last night. The three original, from those three, all of the other citrus fruits came. This was just in the last, you know, everybody knows this isn't something that's hard to think about. Lemons didn't naturally just grow. They were created by man. Well, they weren't created by man. What they were doing is they were bred by man by crossbreeding this and that and doing it over a course of time. The same thing, just the way God intended it to be. All the information for all those fruits were already in there. They already existed at that time. When God created them, all the DNA, it would say that you could do this and that if you could read it like a book. But God intended it to be that way. But what you can't do is you can't mix an apple with an orange. Right. Why? Because it's not after its kind. See, God knew in the beginning, and when he said it, he knew that he was going to get what he was going to get. Just because God created it to expand, it's like humans. We have all different kinds of flavors of humans, praise the Lord. We have this color, that color. We have this height, that height. We have this size, that size, praise the Lord. They're all different kinds of humans. But God created them to work the same. You don't get human-dog mixes. You can't get, I said last night, you don't get horse-cow mixes. We don't get different kinds of creatures. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Well, that's important. I know you're excited about it. But we are building here. But he intended it to work according to its kind, the way that he said it. And it was so. Praise the Lord. Now let's go down to verse 14. We're still in Genesis 1, verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Praise the Lord. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. You're like, Pastor, I know what you're thinking. You're like, Pastor, this is boring. Why do we keep doing this? We're building on something. See, sometimes you need to hear and hear before you're going to get what I'm talking about. Amen? Praise the Lord. It was so. It happened. It happened just the way he intended it, right? Praise God. Genesis 1:20. Then God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. And guess what? It was so. It doesn't say it, but we know that it existed, right? Genesis 1:24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. Again. Can you believe that? I mean, the Lord said it happened again. Praise God. Now we get to an important part. This is where you and I get involved. Amen. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. You know, I said this last night. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. One of the things I love about the creation account is this, is that God shows us something very important. Before he even brought us out, before he even put us there, he put everything we would ever need in our midst for us to take. He said, there it is. I created you, but I created everything you would need first. I made everything you would ever want, ever desire, everything you would ever look at, anything that you could ever dream about, I put it right in front of you already. It's there. It's already there. Some things I hid, praise God. Some things he took the gold. The Bible tells us he took the gold. He said the gold was good. And he put it in the earth. And he said, go find it. And we're blessed when we find it, amen? Anybody digging a post hole wouldn't be blessed if you were digging a post hole to put on a deck and all of a sudden you found a big gold rock? Yeah, would anybody be unhappy about that? Would anybody be happy? I don't know, not gold rock, but you know what I mean, like gold in rock form, you know, or mixed with rock. I don't care how it was. You'd be excited about it, amen? Praise the Lord. You know how the Beverly Hillbillies do this, right? Didn't they get excited? They're out shooting for food and they got some oil, praise the Lord. They moved to Beverly Hills. That's the way it is. God did that for them, amen? God loved the Beverly Hillbillies. Glory. Some of you are like, I know some of the people in here are like, what are the Beverly Hillbillies? See, I'm just at that age where I can kind of cross over both sides. I can know a little bit, and when I say a little bit, I mean very little. But I can know a little bit, but just enough to keep the older generation think that I'm still connected somehow. Praise the Lord, but just enough to confuse the younger generation. Hallelujah. I remember talking about a song once or something with somebody, and I mentioned the band. I was like, this band sang the song. And this young buck said to me, he's like, who's that? I'm like, what do you mean, who's that? Like, everybody knows who that is, except for them. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. This is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly important. To everything that I've been saying, this is going to start tying this all up for you. See, God said, he's showing us how he does. God's showing us what he does. He's showing us how he does it. And then he said, let us make man in our image. And he's like, well, wait a minute. Like our image, yeah, God probably has arms and legs, right? He's got a face and a head and hair, right? We know Jesus came in earthly form and he looked like a man, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But he didn't just stay with the image. He said, according to our likeness, like we are. When he's saying we, this is the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost talking to one another. You know, like we are. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. God made us to be like him. Now, when I say God made us to be like him, I am not saying that God made us gods. But he did make us to be in the same class of being as him. I told other people, we tell you too, my wife is going to be teaching soon a message about the three-part nature of man. We have a body. Well, how is this? We have a mind, we live in a body, and we are a spirit, right? I said that out of order, but that's what we are. We are a spirit. Someday your body's going to die, decay, it's going to rot away, and you're going to go on wherever you go. Praise the Lord. Because your spirit is going to continue going. Your spirit is eternal. Praise the Lord. It doesn't stop. Amen? But God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them, who? The man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. This does not mean that God was a he-she. It does not mean that. But he was, so there's more to it. We see there's more to it than just the physical nature. Yeah. God doesn't look like a man and a woman at the same time. That's not what he's talking about. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Male and female. See, this is why this whole, all this teaching today about things are out of order. Men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. Boys not knowing that they're boys and girls not knowing that they're girls. See, all you got to do is show them the Bible. God orders things. He said, if you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, you're a woman. It doesn't change. Right. If you're born a man, you were born a man. If you're born a woman, you're born a woman. That's all. That's what you're going to be. I don't care what you do to yourself. You are always going to be a man or you are always going to be a woman. I don't care if you think it. It doesn't matter what you think. What you think doesn't matter. Except if you're thinking the wrong thing all the time, then you're going to start doing the wrong thing. You're going to start doing stupid things, and then you're going to have the fruit of what you're doing. You see, this is why we teach the word. This is why we teach the truth. It's not because we hate people. It's because we love people. I don't want people eating rotten fruit. Yeah. I don't want anybody out there eating rotten fruit. I've eaten enough rotten fruit in my lifetime for 10,000 people. I don't want to do it anymore, and I don't want anyone else experience that either. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Oh, God doesn't want anything good for me. God's always removing from me. God wanted to take this from me and take that from me. Why would he have blessed us? Why does the Bible talk about his blessing for us? God is trying to bless us. He wanted blessing. His idea for us from the beginning was blessing. It didn't mean that we weren't going to live without opposition, but it did mean he wanted blessing for us. Praise the Lord. You know, people say, we're not a church. We're not a church that just hands out money. We're not a church that gets into every social program out there. Why? Because Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't go around handing out money to the poor. What did he do to the poor? He taught the gospel to the poor because he knows if he taught the gospel to the poor that the poor wouldn't be poor anymore. And it's the same thing in here. We teach people all the day. You got financial problems? You just stay coming to church. We'll tell you how to get out of them because we did. Why? Because the word of God always leads people higher. You don't need to give people money. Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying it's wrong to give people money. You understand that. If it's on your heart to give somebody, then all by all means, give people money. But we don't. Our organization does not exist. The Bible, the church does not exist. So we can be a welfare handout to everybody that comes along. It doesn't help anybody. In fact, if you look at what the government does with welfare by handing out money, all it does is make people into victims. It makes people into what is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Enables them. Yeah, it just kind of puts them in bondage. God doesn't want us to be in bondage. Why? Because they're always looking for that next handout. You see, the thing is whenever I have need, I go before the Lord and say, Lord, I have need. And he said, I know, I'll take care of it. Yeah. Just believe me. Yeah. Trust me for it. Yeah. Has God failed us yet? No. How many years have we been serving God now together? Almost 12 years. God hasn't failed me yet. I'm not saying that every day has been all nice and shiny. I'm not saying that you know, it's always been a bed of roses and that everything has been pretty. But I'm going to tell you what, God always takes me through. When there's a mountain before me, he told me how to move the mountain. And if I stand there and move that mountain, then I go to the other side. Why? Because God said so. Amen? And because I say so. Because it matters what we say. And I'm building on that. I promise you I'm getting there. Praise the Lord. We'll get there before tomorrow's lunchtime. Promise you. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You know, this is something I brought up before, and I'll say it again. How are we supposed to have dominion over an elephant? Is God saying that you can go wrestle down an elephant? No. He's saying that we do it by our mouths. We do it by what we say. We have dominion by what we say. What we speak, what we're willing to speak. God had dominion over the earth when he said, God said, let there be light, there was light. That was having dominion over the darkness. God was giving us an example. See, if we don't take things out of context, if we keep things in the same context, it's always going to make sense to us. It will always make sense. Why did God say this? Well, look who he's speaking to and how he was speaking. First thing God says is, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set the earth up and I'm going to make it. I'm going to take what was void and what was without order and I'm going to put it back in order. Hallelujah. And I'm going to do, and then I'm going to create humans. And then I'm going to give them the ability. I'm going to give them the dominion. God had the dominion, but when humans came on the scene, he said, here's your dominion. He said, you take it. Everything in the Bible is about what we will do. It's about what we receive. Even salvation, the simplest gift of all Christianity, if you get nothing else, salvation, the most important thing, but it's only received. It's only received. That means there's an action on your part. You cannot get salvation except from it being received. Yeah. That means you have to agree with it. You have to say, yes, that is the truth. And then you got to hook yourself up to it and say, that's what I'm going with. Yeah. Yeah. That's how you receive it. Praise the Lord. Everything else in the Bible is the same way. The blessings of God. Now, God has grace, but God's grace working on unbelievers is only because somebody somewhere is praying for them. Like my grandparents were praying for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And don't think that prayers don't work. I've used this example before, and I'll say it again. My grandma told me when I came to her. I came to her, and I was hurt, and I was broken, and I didn't know where else to go. And I said, you know something? I'm lost. But I know what I need, and I didn't even know how to get there. And grandma said, she took me down, she sat me down, and she said, you know something? She's like, when you were a little baby, I held you up before the Lord. And I said, Lord, this is your child. You keep your hands on him. And instantly, in a moment of time, it was like I had a vision. I don't even know if I ever shared this with her, but it was like I had a vision. And all these times through my life, in an instant, in a moment, I recognized all these times in my life where I knew the hand of the Lord was on me. And I was like, it was an epiphany to me. It was revelation to me. I was like, that's it. That was that prayer following me every day of my life. When my grandma prayed that prayer before I ever did anything wrong, and even as I was doing things wrong, that prayer was still following me. Do not think that the things you say out of your mouth are not doing something, because what you're saying now is going to affect the future. What you believe now will affect the future. How you speak to people, how you speak to those around you, how you speak about them is all going to matter someday down the road. We don't accept defeat. We speak the truth. What's the truth? God's word prevails. God prevails in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have all things I need because God has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus because I do the word. That's a big part of it. Amen. Hallelujah. And God blessed them. Praise God. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. It's all yours. You take control of it. You take care of it. You watch it, and if it gets out of order, it's not on me, it's on you. Mark 11:22. Praise the Lord. Now we're going back. We're fast forwarding when Jesus was here. And this is right after Jesus had spoken to the fig tree that was giving him lack. Jesus spoke to that fig tree and he said, I'm not going to have lack. I won't accept lack. The Bible says that when he came to the lack, he answered it. That's exactly what it says. When he went to the fig tree, when he saw the fig tree and he saw that it had no figs on it, the Bible says he answered it and said. He answered. What did the fig tree? Did the fig tree have a mouth? Was the fig tree talking to him? No, but it was showing lack. It was showing what he wanted wasn't going to happen. What did Jesus say? Okay, I guess it's not going to give me figs today. He said, no, I ain't going to have lack. I'm going to dry it up at its roots. Yeah. So he cursed the fig tree. And then we know that the disciples, they walk by the next day or a couple days later, whatever it was, they're walking by the fig tree. They see this fig tree all dried up, and they're looking at it, and they're saying, Master, that tree that you cursed, it's dead. Yeah. God said, Jesus came to show us how to live. He came to show us how to live. The Bible tells us that those who are of him should follow, should do what he did. Those things he did. He said, those things that I do, you will do, and greater things than these will you do. Why? He intended us to do what he did. Jesus didn't do this just to say, hey, look, I'm God. Look what I can do and what you can't. In fact, we even see that with Peter. When he was walking on water, he didn't rebuke Peter saying, no, I'm God, I walk on water, you just stay there in the boat. He said, oh, Peter, come on. Come on out, walk on the water. What did Peter do? He walked on water. Yeah. Aren't you glad he walked on water? Until he took his eyes off the Lord, until he stopped believing God, until he stopped looking at all the trouble, all the trial that was around him, then what happened? He sank. He went down. Why? Because... I didn't get the water. Because he wasn't keeping his eyes on Jesus and doing what Jesus said and believing what Jesus said. See, it matters. So now we pick it up in Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. What does faith in God have to do with any of this? How did God create the earth? By speaking it into existence. What did he tell us to do? He put us in place and told us to speak to it. All through the Bible, there is scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture about what we say will affect what we have. All through scripture. And here is no less. He said, have faith in God. He said, have faith in the way God created things. Have faith in the way God made things, the way he designed the earth to make work. Don't stop thinking the way you humans always think and think God's thoughts. Think the way he thinks. Have faith in God. Have faith that he created it to work a certain way, and because he did, it will work if you work it. Hallelujah. And now he says, verse 23, surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, everybody say with me, whoever. Is there any whoever's in here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got a few. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. He will have. You notice he says in the scripture, it says three times. Look at this. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. What you speak is what you'll have. What you speak is what you'll get. Now, we shared this last night. You know, God didn't intend us to just go knocking mountains down, because that would be disorder and chaos. God didn't intend us to turn horses into cows with our words. You can stand before a cow all day long and say, turn into a horse, and it's still going to be a cow. It doesn't matter how much you believe it. Why? Because you can't believe something opposite of what God has set in motion. God has natural laws, and you can believe things against natural laws when it's needed. For example, if you're sick, you can believe God to heal your body. Am I right, Cindy? Yes. Thank you, Lord. I'm not calling her Lord, but I'm thanking the Lord for her healing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did it happen by the doctors? Did it happen by your power? Did it happen by God's power? God's power. Hallelujah. Because God said it, and she believed it, and she said it, so guess what she got? It. She got it. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's a pretty bold statement for someone to make if it ain't true. That's a pretty bold statement to make. And people say all the time, they try to justify why this isn't true. Christians try to justify why, Jesus was, you know, this and that. They come up with all their gooblygook and hoobly, hobbly, whatever. But it ain't true. Jesus said it very, very pointedly. And, of course, we see it all through Scripture. We've read some Scripture. I kept a lot out. But we will have what we say. If you are speaking bad things all the time, over your life, think about the things you're saying. I don't know how we're going to do it. Guess what? You're not connecting with the power of God. You're not connecting with that. It doesn't matter how you're going to do it. You think I only know how I was going to do this? When they sent me out to start a church, they didn't send me out with a whole lot. I'm telling you, I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge on starting churches. In fact, I had zero. I left here the first Sunday. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I left here the first Sunday saying to my wife and the Lord, I said, dear Jesus, do we really have to do this again? It was awkward, it was weird, and it certainly wasn't what I had planned for me. But it was what God had planned, and because I stayed faithful, guess what? He showed me. And see, if I had stayed in that mindset, and he had grace on me because I was young and dumb, but you know, if I had stayed in that mindset, if I had stayed thinking those thoughts and saying those things, we would have never progressed. But each step of the way, God has led me, and it didn't look like anything. When we opened up this building, we didn't know that we would. We got the payment spread out over 3 years, so it was progressive over 3 years. I'm going to tell you right now, when we got the first payment, it was all we could do to pay that. We certainly weren't going to be able to do the second payment the second year, and we certainly weren't going to be able to do the third one that we haven't got into yet. Yeah. But I started it because the Lord directed us to do it. The Lord showed me that if we moved to a building, that we would grow, and guess what happened? We doubled in 1 year. Praise the Lord. Now we just got to get the tithes and offerings to meet up with it. Oh, yes, I said that. But we got to, yeah, because we still bring in the same amount of money, even though we have this twice the people. Oh, glory to God. People don't like talking about money in church, but you were here on Friday night, you would have learned something. Hallelujah. But we'll just bring it out tonight. Yeah. You sit there and be stingy, and you be stingy with God, but you want God to bless your finances. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can be stingy with God, if you be like, I'll give a little bit over here, but, you know, I really got all this stuff I want to do over here. Well, glory to God, you will live in your misery, and you'll never have the blessing of the Lord in the land of living. But I'm telling you, God blesses us. He will outgive you. He will outgive you. He'll outgive you. But you got to trust him to do it. But see, if you can't trust God in something simple like money, and Jesus said this, if you can't trust God in something simple like money, you ain't going to trust him in anything else. So you might as well just get your heart right about that. And if you get mad about that, I say this. I said this Friday. I'll say it again. Glory to God. I love it when the boldness is on me. I won't love it later, but I love it now. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't like what I'm saying right now, glory to God, there's a door. We'll see you. Maybe we won't see you again, but take the door and don't let it hit you on the way out. I don't care. We preach the word, hallelujah, around here because the word changes lives. Why? I don't care about your money. I don't want what you have. I want what the Lord has for you and what... But you know what? I deal with people's messes all the time. That's my job. I'm a mess cleaner-upper. Hallelujah. I deal with sheep dip all the time. Hallelujah. Yeah, sheep dip gets real thick sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, sheep make messes. They go around, they make messes. They leave little piles for me to clean up. And sometimes I got to clean it up. But you know what? When we clean them up, we got to clean them up real good. Why? Because I don't want other people coming in, stepping in somebody else's sheep dip. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. We want people helped. We don't do this. You're going to see. If you don't believe me now, if you don't think I love you now, just come back next Sunday. You'll probably see me cry, and you'll see that I do love you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good, though. See, if we don't speak the right way, if we don't talk the right way, you know, that's another thing. That was going to come out in my other sermon that I was going to do this morning, but it might as well come out now. Praise God. But if you talk bad about your pastor, if you talk bad about your church, you know, people are listening. Even if you talk off about these things. If you get mad about one thing and you go out there and you start saying something, you might not remember it when you get over your little tizzy or your little tantrum, but other people will. I said other people will. Yeah, that's why see, we tell our kids all the time, you don't go sharing our business with other people. You don't talk about everything that happens. Why? Because not everything that happens in our house is going to be perfect. Not everything that happens in your house is going to be perfect. But you don't have to go out and run your mouth and tell everybody about it. Listen, there'll be times when I might say something that was completely wrong. I'm going to leave that out at the table. That could possibly happen. But are you going to be such a lily that you can't handle that? Are you going to be such a lily that if I say one thing that bothers you, you're going to go out there, even though your life changed, even though lives are changing, even though people are being healed of cancer, even though people are having their marriages restored, are you going to be such a lily that you're going to go out there and then to try to throw it all away? Seriously? Listen, see, this is a problem that so many snowflakes in this country right now, because this is the way that our society has gone. Stop being a snowflake. Stop melting whenever it gets a little bit warm. It's warm in here right now. You stand up, be strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't going to preach less just because it's hot in here today. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. See, we just got to give it. We got to give God our all. We have to go after it. And when we do that, we'll have. But if we're going to be wimps, if we're going to let the devil just blow us over with every little thing, well, then that's what we're going to have. And that's why so many Christians walk around without, because they don't know that they got power in their mouth. And what they do is they keep speaking the wrong things. Glory to God. Proverbs 13:2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 13:2. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. Shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. But the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. What does that mean? It means people like to do this. People like to do this. Yeah, I've actually heard, and I'm not going to use any specific examples, but I've actually heard of conversations that have come out of even people in our own church who have gone directly against what we've preached in the pulpit. For example, the preaching on tithing. I said I wasn't going to say it, but I did anyways. Preaching on tithing. I've heard of people speaking directly opposite. Now, I don't have to correct it. I just correct it in the pulpit. But the reason I say that is this, because if you take what I say, if you take what we read out of the Word of God and you go out there and change it, you ain't having what God has provided for you. You aren't going to be increased by it. The Bible doesn't say that you'll be blessed only, you know, that you make sure everything else in your life is lined up before you start doing the Word. You will never see that. The Word says you do the Word first. It doesn't matter what else it looks like. But see, people get mad at that. They get mad because they think that we're trying to remove. Why would you think that I'm trying to remove from you? Dear Lord, I don't understand how people can think that when we preach about being in church, people get mad at you about, listen, don't get mad about me preaching about things. You ain't got to do anything I say. I preach it for your benefit, but if you go out there and you lived in the world and you don't have the things, don't come back crying to me and saying, this is why I don't have. No, the reason you don't have is because you won't do the word. You can't be a bad steward of what God's given you. Didn't we read that in the beginning, way back in the beginning when we started? Hallelujah. In the beginning, Pastor Jeff said, moreover, as stewards, it's required that one be found faithful. You are stewards of the word you're getting. And guess what? You're getting real good word. You're getting word other people won't have. So you're more accountable for it. Yeah, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word is good. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he opens wide his lips have destruction. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You don't have to come to me and tell me why you don't. Praise the Lord. I'm reporting. We're Fox News here. We report, you decide. That's all there is to it. You don't like it? Fine. Don't like it. Yeah. Praise God. That's all there is to it. It's the word. We preach the word. Yeah. Yeah. Glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to read through these scriptures here pretty quick. We're getting fixing the clothes here. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Remember what fixing the clothes means? Nothing. Yeah, it means it. No, we really are, though. We are really fixing the clothes. Praise the Lord. I say that for the people. We don't want your hearts getting faint. I mean, I know it's hard to sit through getting life pumped into you for an hour. I mean, we can go sit in movies for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Praise the Lord. But church, oh, dear Jesus, if church goes much more past noon, if it goes to noon, sometimes people get mad at it. There's churches, they'll even put on the signs and say, oh, we have 1 hour services start to finish, fine. I talk to other ministers. They say, I preach for 12 minutes long. Well, glory to God. And that's why your people don't got anything. That's why your people aren't living victorious, because you don't preach long enough to even get through an introduction, glory. Matthew 12, 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you believe is what you're going to say. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Wow. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If you knew this, you'd be talking a lot more careful. If you realize that you're really going to stand before Jesus, praise the Lord. You're going to really stand before Jesus and you're going to give an account? I think about this all the time. Especially when I've said something dumb. Yeah, I think about it all the time. I go, oh, man. You know, I've made a habit of being repentant. Yeah, repentful. Amen. We got to constantly repent. Yeah, even when you're perfect like me, even when you're a great pastor like me, you got to repent sometimes. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. You're going to repent. I repent all the time. All the time. Oh, man. Yeah, you haven't been in my head. You don't know the thoughts that I think. And sometimes those thoughts slip on out, but we gotta clean them back up. Just sheep dip, right? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to end here. In Titus 1:5. Now, this was written, Titus was a minister. He was a pastor. But what we have to understand is that if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, right? Is that a saying that we can use here? Right? Does that make sense? I think so. I don't really know. I mean, I just caught the tail end of that quote in my childhood. So I'm bringing it back. You know what I mean? I don't know what it fully means, but it sounds good. Praise God. Titus 1:5. They can apply to us. Look at this. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. For this reason, I have set you in Crete. For this reason, I put you here, child of God, that you would set in order the things that are lacking. Use your words. Set in order the things that are lacking. What are the things that are lacking in your life? Set them in order. How do you set them in order? You open your mouth and you speak it. The Bible tells us that God spoke to those things that didn't exist as though they did. You need to speak to those things that don't exist as though they did. You say, glory to God, by the power of God, Satan, you don't have any control over me. I'm not letting you have my life. I'm not letting you have my finances. I'm not letting you have my house. I'm not letting you have my spouse. I'm not letting you have my church. I'm not letting you have my kids. I'm not letting you have nothing, glory to God. I'm taking control of it with my words, praise the Lord. And listen, you know, there's a saying that was used with me once about letting my mouth overload our butt. But sometimes, as Christians, we need to do a little bit more of that. We need to overload things a little bit more with our words in the right way. Amen. We need to realize that we're a lot bigger than we look. We're a lot bigger on the inside than we look. I'm a million times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside because I got the Spirit of God on the inside of me. So you take hold of your life. You start putting things in order. God gave us our words. Use your words wisely. Use your words to set things in order. When it's not in order, you speak it in order. And you say, Pastor Jeff, how long do I do it? Well, Jesus said, you look at the mountain and you keep speaking to that mountain until that mountain moves. If it hasn't moved, you haven't used your words long enough yet. Praise the Lord. So you just keep using your words and stand there in faith. Your job is to stay in faith. It is not to move the mountain. I said, your job is to stay in faith, not to move the mountain. You're supposed to speak to the mountain, but you ain't supposed to move the mountain. Jesus will move it. The Lord will move it. He promised he will. And if he promises he will, then praise God, that's good enough for me.